Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had just risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement and crying had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. Welcome, one and all. A special welcome to visitors and guests among us, and also college folks and young adults coming back home. Really great that we're all together. So glad to see all of you. The women who supported Jesus' ministries back at home in Galilee, as Mark tells us earlier, prepare traditional burial spices at night and then leave their home the earliest moment that their religious law allows them, at the crack of dawn. They want to minister to Jesus one last time, and they expect to see his dead body and to tend it. But they find an empty tomb and a young human man with a message, and they flee in terror. They expect one thing, and instead they hear and see something so strange, they're terrified. And that's it. That's originally the end of this book from Mark. Those are the last words, which are, having gone out, they fled from the tomb, for trembling and amazement seized them. And they said nothing to no one, for they were terrified. Period. End of book. Shouldn't they dance all the way home? Crash the disciples' upper room and their grief and shout the good news? I mean, isn't that what we expect on the first Easter? But sometimes we get the Christian life backwards. We even hear it from some preachers, you know, once you're Christian, life is good. There's a reward in being Christian somehow. Either nothing really bad will happen to you, or at least nothing you can't handle. But in this reading, it's actually the moment that the women hear the resurrection that they're filled with fear and basically lose it. Never mind doing the opposite of what they're asked to do. See, these women witness to all generations that believers are filled with misgivings and fears and a desire to run in the opposite direction. Which is why I love how Mark's gospel ends. You know, the women aren't heroes, aren't idealistic heroes, and there's no storybook ending. It's so real. It describes the real response of complicated human beings to a disturbing and wondrous, unexpected turn of events. See, I can see myself doing the same thing, but even better. There's a promise here from the young man. Jesus will go ahead of them, back to their hometown in Galilee, and Jesus will meet them there, embracing them in all of their misgivings and fears, and if they actually do run in the opposite direction of Galilee, I'm sure that God will provide yet another witness to assure them in their new place of rebellion. See, we see it even in this reading, in how the young man singles out Peter for the good news. Peter was the one, if you remember, who didn't just run away as the others did. He denied even knowing Jesus multiple times. What sweet comfort that sentence must have given Peter. So, dear friends, I have the same message for you today. Now, I'm no young man, but I am clothed in white, the sign of baptism, and I'm here to tell you that Jesus goes ahead of you, too, embracing you with all of your fears and misgivings and rebellion. Because there are fears that people have really brought here to church today. Personal fears about not being able to find somebody to love in life, about choosing the right career or the right school, or being successful. Fears about facing a disease that's been diagnosed. Fears about dying. Fears about a loved one's death. And there are also fears that we've brought here about our common life in this country and world. Fears about safety. Fears about children and grandchildren. Fears of things hurtling through the sky, including Chinese space stations, right? Where will it land? For those caught up in personal fears, I'm here to tell you that Jesus has gone ahead of you. He himself knows fear and trembling. His human life went in a pretty frightening direction at the end. We may be called to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown in life, but Christ goes ahead of us, promises to give us faith so that we can go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only knowing that God's hand is leading us and his love is supporting us, which really is enough. And for all of us caught up in fears for our world and our nation, Jesus has gone ahead of us. The crucified and risen one is the end of this world's history, we Christians confess. The arc of a moral universe bends toward justice, but the arc of the creator of the universe bends toward love, even loving the enemy, which includes you and me and our enemies. Just as all humans in every age, we will live through good, bad, and evil times in our nation and our world. But the final word is love, incomprehensible, crucified love. Jesus goes ahead of us, even in death, and through death, and to new life, unimaginable, abundant new life. But in the meantime, today, to give us faith for whatever venture is before us, we come together on Easter Sunday and each Sunday with all of our fears and misgivings and rebellions and joys, and Jesus meets us through the word proclaimed here today in sermon and liturgy and song and in the meal he instituted for us on the night in which he was betrayed by people just like us. So, let us sing a song full of alleluias that Christians in all times, places, and conditions have sung since the 14th century. Amen.